First John. We are in chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Here we have a little bit of Latin this morning. And I always like to mix in my southern accent with Latin. It always is interesting. We have this. Simul Justus et Peccator. Simul Justus et Peccator. Now, what does that mean? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about in 1 John. The idea of simul, we get our English word simultaneously. It's together all at one time. Justus is just or righteous. The J is silent. You have et. We know what et is. It's the past tense of the verb to eat. I hope you ate your breakfast this morning. No, that's not true. We remember this Latin word, even though you might not know it's Latin, when you remember the assassination of Julius Caesar, when he turned to Brutus and he said, et tu, Brute, and you too, Brutus. So et means and. Peccator means sin or sinner. And so here we have this idea. How is it that we're simultaneously just, righteous, and still sin? How is that? Well, it is because of the things that we see in 1 John, in the first chapter especially. If we say we, believers, the apostles, John and the other apostles include themselves along with the original readers, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all still deal with the idea of sin. We are just, but we're not perfectly righteous in our experience, are we? In our condition, you might say. And so, what do we do with that sin? We don't have to be saved over and over and over and over, or justified over and over and over again. We want to walk in fellowship with the Father, in fellowship with one another, and that's exactly what John has talked about. And he says the way we deal with our sin, the fact that we are just and yet still sin, is that we confess our sin, we become aware of our sin. That is to homologeo, that is to agree with God in regard to that sin. We recognize as he is. We don't play games with God in regard to our sin. And that's the principle, first principle of fellowship in 1 John chapter 1. That we who are justified in God's sight still sin. So how do we, sinners, justified but still sin, walk in fellowship with God? We confess our sins to him. And what does it say in 1 John 1:9? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That forgiveness is not justification forgiveness, it's fellowship forgiveness. That's what John is writing this book primarily about. That your joy may be full, that you may have fellowship with us and with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, and that your joy in that fellowship may be full. Well, what is the goal of fellowship? What is the goal of fellowship? When you have fellowship with people, what's the goal? I know eating is a big part of that. I understand that. All right? But the true purpose of fellowship is to do what? It is to get to know the one with whom we're having fellowship. It is to draw closer to one another. Well, in 1 John chapter 2, where we are today, notice what it says. We're in verse 3. Follow along, please, as I read verses 3 through 11. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, through the love of God, is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment by which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, we won't get to all of this today in 1 John chapter 2, but we need to understand these things especially. The goal of fellowship is to get to know the one with whom we have fellowship. Now, what type of knowledge or what type of knowing is John talking about? Verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, through the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. The type of knowledge that's being spoken of here is not the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look over in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. Gospel of John and 1 John, written by the same person, the Apostle John. John chapter 17. 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So here we have this idea of knowing him in the salvific idea, the justification idea. This is eternal life, that you know him, that you know him by faith. Then you have John chapter 11. Look over in John chapter 11. This knowing is of a certainty. The idea in 1 John, how do you know that you know him? Well, in the idea of knowing him and the saving knowledge is a for sure knowledge. You know for sure. Look over in John chapter 11. Jesus is speaking to Martha, and he asks her a specific question. He says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. So this knowing him, this eternal life manner of knowing him, is a for sure thing. If we go to 1 John chapter 2, he's not talking about a for sure thing. This is how we know that we know him. There is no biblical or theological construct by which you do not know if you believe in Jesus Christ. You either believe in him or you do not. There's no such thing as, well, I don't know if I believe or not. Sure you know if you believe or not. Do you believe? Are you convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ? You have believed in him. But the idea of fellowshipping with him, that idea of knowing him, is a different matter altogether. Now notice, this saving knowledge is not the thing John is talking about in 1 John. That is something that you know for certain. But the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ is the idea of communion. It's fellowship knowledge. It is that type of knowledge in John chapter 14 where Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long with you and you've not known me? That's a different type of knowing. They were all clean. Jesus already said to them in previous chapters, you were all clean. Except they excluded Judas from that because Judas was not a believer. He was not justified. He was not saved. He was not redeemed. He said, you're all clean. You have the salvation knowledge. But Philip, I've been with you so long and you don't know me? That if you knew me, you would know that when you see me, you've seen the Father, that you would know that I am that of the Father. And so there's the idea of knowing him. So when you come to 1 John chapter 2, it says this in verse 3, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, unfortunately, in our English Bibles, that gives us a little bit of a doublespeak. We know that we know. I know that you know what I know that you know I know. But we have a different idea in the Greek that helps us understand what kind of knowledge he's talking about, what kind of knowing. In this 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we know, the first know, and the second note are not the same words. They have the same root word, but they're not the same word. This first one, know, is present tense. We know. Right now, continuing, we know. We know, present tense, that we have come to know. It's perfect tense. We've come to know him. And so this is the idea of an action in the past has continuing results. And so we know that we have come to know him. And if you want to be really bored with the Greek, this idea of knowing him here is called stative. It's a state of being. It's not an action, it's a state of being. And so he's saying to them, we know that we have come to know him by certain things that we see. Now, you don't say, I know that I'm saved by the things I see. I know that I'm saved because of the promise of God. The promise of God is you believe on Christ for eternal life, you're justified, you're saved. But this knowing here is of a different nature, that I have come to know. I know somebody, but I have come to know them, and that have come to know them is stative, is a state of being. It's an intensity knowing. I have known them intensely, intimately, closely. I know a lot of people that I don't really know. How is that possible? Because they're not people that I'm close with. They're not people I fellowship with. They're not people I spend time with. And so I know people by degrees, don't I? In different levels. I know you, and I know my wife. I do not know you in a degree that I know my wife. I know different people that I've met along the path of life. But I don't know them closely or intimately, but I know them. I would recognize them if they walked through the door. I maybe called them by name. But I don't know them really closely. But what John is saying, here's how we know that we know him closely. Here's how we know that we are in fellowship with him. The first principle of fellowship was the principle of walking in light, because God is in light. As we walk in light, God reveals our sin, and to continue in that fellowship and walking in light, we have to confess that sin and agree with God. Remember our gentleman here that was a part of this, the sphere of light and the sphere of darkness. This is the believer here in the sphere of light. In the light, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Now, walking in light does not mean walk in sinless perfection necessarily. Because what does it say as we walk in a light? As he is in light, we have fellowship with him and with the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with one another. But as we're walking in light, we become aware of sin. We have been sinning as we were walking in light. What do we have to do? Well, we have to confess to remain in this sphere of light, which is having fellowship, knows God, abides in a light, his experiences of God. In this sphere of light is where we experience God. That's where our experiences are of God. But this believer can also walk in the sphere of darkness. Doesn't lose his salvation, but he jeopardizes fellowship. In the sphere of darkness, there's not fellowship. He does not know God in that sphere of darkness. Doesn't mean he's not saved. He has not come to know that he knows God. He doesn't abide in God. God does not abide in him, making their home in with one another. He does not abide in light, and his experience is not of God. In this sphere, anything that's not in the sphere of light is a sphere of darkness. And in this sphere of darkness, no matter how we may justify it or rationalize it, that experience in darkness cannot be of God, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. We need to get those principles, those thoughts, and affirm them in mind as we go through 1 John, because that's the basis on which 1 John is writing the things he's writing to these people. And so we come now to 1 John chapter 2, where we read this morning, and what is the second principle of fellowship? It's in 1 John chapter 2:3-11, and that is, the primary subject of this whole section here is love. We're at the intersection of truth and love in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3-11. And in this sphere, in this section here, we have three responses to what John is writing about. The three responses are in verse 4, he who says, I know him, does not keep his commandments, is a liar, truth is not in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So you have these three responses to what John is writing about. He who says, he who says. John loves things in three. We had three things in 1 John chapter 1 in the verse that we looked at. If we say, if we say, if we say. And so here are the responses. He who says, he who says, he who says. And so what is he saying here? This entire section, although it is subtle and implicit at first, as it develops, it becomes obvious that this entire section is about love. And notice how he begins to frame this, verse 3. Now by this we know that we have come to know him intimately. How? If we keep his commandments. Now, John doesn't immediately say what these commandments are. But as you go down through, he develops the commandments that he's thinking about. We know that we have come to know him intimately if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, through the love of God is perfect or matured in him, by this we know that we are in him. Here's the intersection of truth and love. The commandments, the word, love. If we love, we keep his commandments. Now, you can keep the commandments and not love God. You can do it just because it's a dutiful thing and you're bound to do it. But this is the idea is that you cannot love without keeping his commandments. You say you love God, or you say you love your brother, but you don't keep the commandments, the word of God. And we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're going to see the commandment we're talking about in a minute. Then you're lying. Verse 5. Whoever keeps his word through the love of God is mature in him, and by this we know that we are in him. In him for John is not the same idea of in him in Pauline writing. In John, he has this idea of in him is similar or equivalent to his idea of in him in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 talks about we are in the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. We are in him. And here is the idea of first John chapter 15 of fellowship and obedience and our functioning in him. But if we don't bear fruit, we're taken away. We're not talking about salvation. We're taken away. If we bear fruit, we're pruned. God refines us. And so that's the idea of in him. It's in him in the idea of verse 6 of abiding in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walks. When John's talking about being in him, he's not being in him in the sense of justification, Pauline writing. He's talking about being in him in the sense of abiding in him. That's John's style of writing. And the Holy Spirit inspired both. He says, verse 7, now he begins to give us the idea of what commandment he's really talking about. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And this idea of beginning that he uses twice here goes back to the beginning in the first part of chapter 1, which we've heard from the beginning. The beginning of what? It's the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not the beginning of all time. It's the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the disciples and the apostles walked with him. And they had no new commandment here. You've known it from the beginning, from the time it was first given to us in Jesus. Now in verse 8 he says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Is it a new commandment or is it not a new commandment here, John? Come on. Give me a break. I looked over in the Gospel of John. Look over in the Gospel of John. Look over in John 13. John chapter 13. And let's go to verse 34. This idea of the commandment, and it becomes obvious in 1 John 2 that the commandment is to love one another. That's the commandment he's speaking about. In John 14, just John 13, 34, he says this, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So this is not a new commandment. We were told in the Old Testament even that we were to love God and your neighbor as yourself. But here we have Jesus telling the disciples, a new commandment I give to you. New in what way? It's new in quality. Kainos is the Greek word. It's new in quality. And it's new in the object. The quality is a new commandment I give you. A new quality of an old commandment I give you would be one way of saying it. This is not a new commandment in the sense you've never heard this, but I'm giving it to you in a new sense now. So you have this new quality of this commandment to love. He says that you love one another. There's a new object that you love one another. The object of this love is one another. And that you do this in what measure? Here's the new part of it too. As I have loved you. So here's something you've heard before, but I'm giving it to it in a new quality. There's a new object of this love. And there's a new measure of this love. You are to love one another as I have loved you. The disciples even had a hard time with the idea of love and forgiveness. How many times you forgive somebody? Good grief. And Jesus tells them, essentially tells them, unlimited. How do you love somebody as I have loved you? Puts a whole new slant on it, doesn't it? To love someone else as Christ has loved us puts it on a new commandment level altogether. It's not new in the essence of it, but it's new in the quality, it's new in the object of it, and it's new in the measure of it. That you love one another as I have loved you. Love is a choice. Love is not an emotion. Infatuation would be an emotion. But love is a choice. Love is to seek the best for the other person, no matter what it may cost me. And that's how we have been loved. That's how we're to love one another. There was a couple who was having over a guest speaker. He was the pastor of a church. He was having a friend come over to be a guest speaker to speak in his church. And the husband and wife had a little girl. And the speaker arrived at the house. He was going to be staying with them. And he got there a little bit early. And the father wasn't there yet. He was still at the office. And so it was the mom and the little girl. And the mom, welcomed them in and had them take a seat. And she got busy with things in the kitchen. And so it was the little girl and this guest speaker, this man speaking. And the little girl started bringing all her dolls, all her little dollies, and setting them all around him and talking to him. Oh, beautiful dolls, just gorgeous, just an incredible collection of dolls. And he said, that's wonderful, dear. He said, but which of these do you love the most? Which do you love the best? Which do you really love? And she says, do you really love dollies? And he said, yeah, I will know which one you love. She went back to her room, came out with a doll that had seen its best days. It was a stuffed doll, and the stuffing was pulling out, the arm missing, the eye gone, and the nose and the face just unrecognizable almost. And there in the midst of all these beautiful dolls sat this doll. And he said to the little girl, why do you love this doll the most? And she said, because if I didn't, nobody else would. That's how God has loved us. When nobody else would, He loves us. When nobody else does today, He still loves us. And that's how we're to love one another. Not because everybody else loves this person, and I do too, but because this person needs my love. And so I choose to pour my love upon this person. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. It's incredible. It's unimaginable. We do not understand how you can love us as you have, and yet you do. Thank you. Thank you so, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful love. And now may we who have been loved in this manner love each other. We cannot say we love you if we do not love our brother and sister in Christ. We cannot say we walk in fellowship with you. We cannot say we've come to know you intimately if we do not love one another. It's impossible. You do not live in the darkness. May we come out of the darkness to live in the light of your life, the light of your love. May we love one another in that light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.